Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Gaura Nitaya, Gaura Nitaya. Gaura Nitaya Jaya Gaura Nitaya Jaya Jagannatha Jagannatha Baladeva Jaya Shri Subhadra जय ओ राधा बल्लभ राधा बल्लभ राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अस्तोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमदभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय निताई गौर प्रेमानंद हरि ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 वर्स नंबर 55 The name of the chapter is King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Jena prasupta purusha. Jena prasupta purusha. Swapam vedatmanastada. Swapam vedatmanastada. Sukham cha nirgunam brahma. सुखम च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तम आत्मानं अवेहि माम तम आत्मानं अवेहि माम येन प्रसुप्त पुरुषः स्वापं वेदात्मनस्तदा सुखम च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तम आत्मानं अवेहि माम येन प्रसुप्त पुरुषः स्वापं वेदात्मनस्तदा सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तम आत्मानं अवेहि माम Jena prasupta purusha Svapam vedatmanastada Sukham cha nirgunam brahma Tamatmanam avehima. Mataji. Yena prasutta purusha. Svapam vedatmanastada. Sukham cha nirgunam brahma. Tamatmanam avehima. Yena prasutta purusha. Svapam vedatmanastada. Yeah. दुखं च निर्गुणं तमात्मानं व्हाट फॉर व्हाट मीनिंग येन बाय होम द सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन प्रसुप्तः स्लीपिंग पुरुषः अ मैन स्वापम द सब्जेक्ट ऑफ अ ड्रीम वेद नोज आत्मनः ऑफ हिमसेल्फ तदा एट दैट टाइम सुखम हैप्पीनेस च ऑल्सो निर्गुणम विदाउट कॉन्टैक्ट विद द मटीरियल एनवायरमेंट ब्रह्मा द सुप्रीम स्पिरिट तम हिम आत्मानम द परवेडर अवेहि जस्ट नो माम मी ट्रांसलेशन श्रील प्रभुपाद नो मी टू बी द सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन द ऑल परवेडिंग सुपर सोल थ्रू हूम द स्लीपिंग लिविंग एंटिटी कैन अंडरस्टैंड हिज ड्रीमिंग कंडीशन एंड हिज हैप्पीनेस बियॉन्ड द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ मटीरियल सेंसेस दैट इज टू से आई एम द कॉज ऑफ द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ स्लीपिंग लिविंग बींग यू कैन रिपीट द ट्रांसलेशन आफ्टर मी नो मी टू बी द सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन the all pervading super soul through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of material senses that is to say I am the cause of activities of the sleeping living being purport by Srila Prabhupada When the living entity becomes free from false ego, he understands his superior position as a spirit soul, part and parcel of the pleasure potency of the Lord. Thus, due to Brahman, even while sleeping, the living entity can enjoy. The Lord says, that Brahman, that Paramatma and that Bhagwan are I myself. That is noted by Srila Jiva Goswami in Krama Sandarbha. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगन रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगनललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे हरे कृष्ण अ वेरी क्विक शॉर्ट ब्रीफ ऑफ व्हाट्स हैपनिंग हियर आई कैन सी फ्यू पीपल हु आर जस्ट कनेक्टिंग विद दिस चैप्टर इन दिस होल theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. So basically there is a king with the name Chitraketu who had a desire that he wants a child but it was very difficult for him to get a child. So due to the blessings of sages like Angira and Narada Muni, after a lot of pleading and going through a lot of agony, he gets a child whom they name as Harsha Shoka, because he'll be the cause of distress and joy, Harsha and Shoka both for the king. But eventually the child was killed basically by the stepmothers of the baby. The king had many queens, so they couldn't tolerate how one specific queen who gave birth to this child was given so much attention. So other queens, they came together and they killed the baby. Now the king was back again in lamentation. And then again, as Maharaj was mentioning 2 days before, the very right opportunity was seen by Narada Muni, who came with Angira Rishi. And he saw this is the right moment, this is the time for us to impart transcendental knowledge to King Chitraketu. And as Maharaj was mentioning, a preacher must be patient and he must wait for the right time to speak the right thing. So Narada Muni did that, and he called the child back, and the dead child back in consciousness again, and the child spoke to the king. And it basically shook the king when the child spoke about the reality of the soul and how he doesn't belong to this particular family because he has already changed so many families. And now King Chitraketu was blessed with Narada Muni with mantras to meditate on his Ishtadev, Lord Anantadev. And when Chitraketu did meditate on Anantadev, the Supreme Lord appeared after some time. And then when Supreme Lord appeared in this chapter, King Chitraketu meets the Lord. And he offered many beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord, Anantadev. And now Anantadev, after Chitraketu has offered prayers, now Anantadev is speaking. The Supreme Lord himself is speaking. So this is the continuation from the verse we did yesterday. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu gave class on. So we'll just read the verse translation again. It took me few readings of this translation to actually register what's happening, because if you just go through it once, it may not click exactly what it means. At least for me it happened. So the Supreme Lord is saying, know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading super soul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of sleeping living beings. So for this we at least must know what was happening in the verse before, because it continues. So I'll just quickly read what was the previous verse. So the Supreme Lord is saying, when a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and he sees in himself many other objects, and such as great mountains, rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. So basically 3 stages, as Prabhu mentioned yesterday. Deep sleep, basically you have no consciousness. Dreaming, you're aware of, at least your subtle mind is traveling everywhere, and the impressions you have gained throughout your day is basically coming to you in different forms. You may have seen a great mountain and a river, like Prabhupada says. You might have seen a tiger and gold somewhere, and you may see a golden tiger, just whatever combination comes. And then the 3rd stage is wakefulness. So this verse, the Supreme Lord says that it is me who is causing it all to happen. Now continuing to this, he's saying, it is me, the Supreme Brahman, or Paramatma, basically Antaryami, the super soul within, through whom this sleeping living entity, who is basically in one sense sleeping in all the 3 conditions, sleeping from the reality that one is spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and has a relationship with the Supreme Lord. he can understand his dreaming condition. This is where the catch is in this statement. That as soon as we read that the living entity can understand his dreaming condition, it's not talking about the physical sleep only. Even while awake and living in this material world, acting and operating, we are still in a dreaming condition. Why? Because we are away from reality. That we are spiritual in nature. We have a relationship with the Supreme Lord, being his part and parcel. So what the translation says is that through the Antaryami, whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of material senses. So the Supreme Lord, who is present within us as Paramatma Antaryami, helps understand this. And that's why he is the cause of the activities of sleeping living being. Again, when it says cause of the activity of sleeping living being, it's not talking about someone on the bed only. It's the whole material existence. And it can be any of the three previously what we read. First time I read, I said, how can a sleeping living being on the bed can experience happiness? And then it somehow registered after once or twice I read it. Vishwanath Chakra Thakur explains a great acharya who has done the main commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is referred to, is of Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada's purports, especially in this section also, are very much referring to what Vishwanath Chakra Thakur said on this topic. So he says that it should be clearly understood that it is the Antaryami who daily dissolves the gunas during deep sleep by his mercy. It is the Paramatma who puts us in that state of deep sleep by dissolving the gunas, the modes which are acting on us, by his mercy, and gives the jiva, whose knowledge and bliss are covered by firm bondage of gunas, an experience of nirguna happiness also. So those us who are covered completely under the modes of material nature, who are completely covered, and whose knowledge and the experience of happiness which a soul can gain, basically, which is covered due to our material interactions, it is this same Antaryami, the same super soul, Paramatma within us, who can give us this experience of this happiness. And how do you basically understand why he is not talking about the material realm? Is because the Acharyas, even in translation and in purport also, Srila Prabhupada and even Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, speaks about happiness beyond material senses and the material modes. And that's why you catch this, what he's trying to say. It's not just someone who is enjoying his sleep in the bed. It is the wakefulness to the reality that I am part and parcel of God. In this verse, two different terms are used for the Supreme Lord. That is Brahman and Paramatma. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from Bhagavatam, a very famous verse. It is very, very extensively quoted, this particular shloka. It's from 1st Canto, chapter 2, verse number 11. Vadanti tat tattva vidas. Tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagwaniti shabdate. So those who are Vedantis, those who are learned, transcendentalists, who are tattva vidas, they understand the same absolute truth in three features: Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagwan. I'll explain basically what it means. Because here, two of those aspects are mentioned in the translation itself, that know me to be the Supreme Brahman and Paramatma. So what is Supreme Brahman? Brahman is the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, which is practically the, in many different ways it's called, you know, we as living entity merge in that jyoti, that supreme effulgence. Then the Paramatma is the localized form of the super soul, so Supreme Lord within us, within every living entity. Whether it's an animal form or a human form or whatever form we take, the Supreme Lord accompanies us in that particular form as Paramatma, who is within guiding us. And the third one is Bhagwan, who is the Supreme Lord, who on this planet appears yuge yuge, millennium after millennium, to do his leela, whether it's in the form of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna or Shri Ram or Narsingadev or whichever other incarnation. But in the spiritual world, the same Supreme Lord's form is eternally present. Here they may come for a few hundred years or whatever period, few thousands of years. Like Sri Ram, Lord Ramchandra stayed for much longer than how much Krishna stayed on this planet. But they're eternally doing their leela in the spiritual world as well. So now Prabhupada says that he quotes this particular verse in the purport to explain that yes, that Supreme Lord is I myself. And Vishnu Acharya Thakur again quotes this. This is for someone who is technically inclined, wants to understand the whole thing. He quotes another verse from the 6th canto later, which will come in the 9th chapter, which says, nothing is impossible for you, my dear Supreme Lord. Nothing is impossible for you. Maya maya kevala evatma mayam. Nothing is impossible for you. Why? Because you only have one form, but your manifestations are multiple. You only have one form, but you are manifested in many, many different ways. Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagwan. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example of how to understand how the same one person is Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagwan. Is that suppose you're sitting in your home, it's early morning, sun rises, you're sitting, oh, sunlight comes at home. You know, many people say, oh, sun has come. But actually, sun has not come. If sun comes, you know, we'll turn into ashes, basically. We'll disappear. So sunlight has come. So that light is compared to this Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Lord. But when we go out and we see a bright sunlight, then we see this sun form of the sun, which is a disk located in the sky. And then if someone is capable of going to the planet of sun and meeting sun god himself, whose name is Vivaswan, so that's the third feature called Bhagwan. And the previous one was where you see the sunlight and the disk form is Paramatma. So Srila Prabhupada gives this very simple example to explain how is the same person in three different manifestations. Paramatma, Bhagwan and Brahman. You know, in India we see a very common understanding. Recently I was watching a video of a devotee who is very famous. He became a celebrity and a motivational speaker, and then he invited a guest. And this lady, who was the guest speaker for this interview, she from childhood she's doing Bhagavad Kathas. She's known for her singing, her Bhagavad Kathas, and now she's a motivational speaker also. Very famous. And when I say very famous, I'm talking about the followers in millions, subscribers on the YouTube channels, on the social media platforms in millions. So very famous. Now she came and she's a very ardent Bhagavad speaker. And this particular point came in their discussion. So this devotee, this speaker, was very specifically asked a question. Oh, so whom you get more attracted to? Lord Shri Krishna or Ramachandra? Whose teachings attracts you more? Whose life attracts you more? It's a very genuine question, you know. We all have our likings. And she says, naturally, Shri Krishna, whose life and whose teachings attracts me more. But I don't make any distinction between Durga Devi, Lord Shiva, Ganesha, Krishna, Ramachandra, I don't make any distinction. And she makes a point. She says, it's just, if suppose you have to go to Melbourne city center, you may be coming from eastern suburb, western suburb, northern suburb, or southern suburbs. You may be coming from any different direction, but you know you have to go to Melbourne city center. So your routes, paths can be different, but you're reaching at one same goal. This is the statement she made. And it sounds very fancy, very nice, because yes, sahi baat bol rahi ekdam. You know, this is true. All the path reach to one goal. Bhagavatam doesn't approve that. I'll read you something very specific. Says Prabhupada quotes that less intelligent students of either of the above school sometimes argue in the favor of their own respective realization. But those who are perfect seer of the absolute truth know well that the above three features of one absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of vision. So Srila Prabhupada makes this point that whether it's Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagwan, these three features are talking about the same one absolute truth. Talking about same one absolute truth, but from different perspective views. If you are speaking about Brahma, Paramatma or any other form of Bhagwan, her statement was valid. That okay, we are talking about one absolute truth, but different perspectives can be there to reach this absolute truth. There are jnanis who are meditating and they want to merge in the Brahman effulgence. There are yogis who are meditating on Paramatma and they want to realize super soul. And there are devotees who wants to serve Radha and Krishna or Sitaram or Lakshmi Narayan or whatever form. Now they are dealing with the same one absolute truth. But her point was that a diversion, even though she is a Bhagavad speaker from age 6, was that any path you choose, whoever you worship, whatever way you want to worship, will lead to the same goal. And this notion has created a lot of confusion, especially people coming from Indian mind background, where a debate can happen or argument can take place, where if someone is talking about an inferior energy or sometimes a living entity who is empowered as a devata to be on the same platform as absolute truth and just considered, oh, this is just a different perspective viewed towards the same absolute truth. You got the point? How this actually can take somewhere else. So Srila Prabhupada, that's why he's making very specific statement here that when we are talking about the absolute truth, we must understand it can be either his Brahman effulgence, his super soul, his teachings towards his Paramatma, Antaryami, or any different form of Bhagwan, which can be either Nam, Narsingha, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Parshuram, Krishna, or like Anantadev in this section. It has to be one of the forms of the Supreme Lord. Then it comes in the category of Bhagwan, and then we are talking about same absolute truth. Not just energy of the Supreme Lord, or even a Jiva who is empowered as a Devata is in the same category. They are not. They are completely not. We were having a discussion with a boy the other day, and he was attending some spiritual group, I'll not say, some religious group he was attending here in Melbourne. He comes to temple also regularly, but the whole concept of deity worship doesn't register, you know, it's too much, you know. He's from Delhi, born and brought up in a family who from childhood they are visiting temples. But this does, somehow it just has a conflict. So I wanted to know, what is the reason for his conflict? He had many questions, many different ways of inquiry he had. So he goes to this particular group, I'll not name because our goal is not to criticize anyone, but to make the principle very clear. So this group, the principle, the philosophy is that anybody from any background can come and present their views and everyone is respected. Is respected. And we also respect. But anybody from any background, from any spiritual understanding, no matter what he's speaking, is respected, which should be done because it's individual's choice. We must respect their preferences. But then, in their philosophical discussions, all the Siddhanta, all the principles is considered and taken and discussed upon and then basically given a platform or a facility where it's like, you know, you sit with few friends having a sip of a tea and then you put some points and everyone says, yes, good point. And this particular group is originated in Iran in late 1800s, where the whole area was very much, I would say, in terms of philosophy, was very much aligned with whether it was Christianity, Islam, or Judaism. So naturally, if someone is coming from a background of Abrahamic teachings, deity worship is very difficult to register in their consciousness. Why someone is worshipping a stone or metal or wood? So he was making certain points. So then that's where why I brought this point out is this is exactly where we were discussing this particular point that I was suggesting him that, see, you are going to a discussion where many different opinions are presented. And when I say many different opinions, it can be, you know, worship river as God also. Mount, just be happy because you're worshipping mountain as God. Someone has this opinion also. We were discussing this point that I was telling you, my humble request to you is, if you can stick to the understanding of absolute truth. Because he was keen on knowing about the absolute truth. He was constantly making this point, absolute truth, absolute truth. So I was suggesting him, if you can just stick to the understanding of absolute truth, on your spiritual quest, you may go somewhere. But if it is everything and anything, then practically it can be very, very confusing to basically choose a particular path. And I told him very directly, I will never tell you choose my lifestyle. But at least you should inquire about the absolute truth and understand what absolute truth means. So because this has caused quite a bit of confusion in society, that's why I thought this particular point should be raised. Because very recently I got this couple of experiences where quite a bit very direct word I would use is hodgepodge in name of religion, because there is no scriptural reference, there is no scriptural backing in any of the cases. This particular verse is directing us towards absolute truth and telling us the absolute truth is actually the cause of all the activities. Now, the absolute truth can be perceived in any of the forms. Changing the topic a little bit, Monday, a very special month, is starting. Monday, the month of Kartik, is beginning. Few devotees requested, so I thought I'll speak on that as well. Tomorrow we have initiations. So from Monday onwards, this month of Kartik is starting, which is named after Srimati Radharani, who is also known as Kartika Devi. Rupa Goswami says that this month is very pleasing to Srimati Radharani, and it helps us very quickly to progress in the path of bhakti, this particular month. Srila Sanatan Goswami quotes something from in his Hari Bhakti Vilas. I'll just read exactly what he says. I take the shelter under the lotus feet of Radharani and Lord Damodar, who are the lord of this Kartika month. So this is the prime responsibility of every devotee, that they glorify more and more about Radha and Krishna. Even in scriptures, the glories of Kartika are mentioned. There are many references, whether it's in Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is stressing the glories of this month. And certain spiritual practices that can be done in this month, which may enhance our devotional life. Sometimes spiritually we many devotees experience, some push is required, some kick is required, because we may be feeling ourselves weak in certain areas of practicing devotional service. Some devotees, they experience, oh, my reading goes weak, for some morning program goes weak, for some hearing about Krishna on regular basis is very less. For some, to come and do service in temple is a once-off thing, especially, or whether it's on Janmashtami or whichever day. So this particular month, if we can try to engage more in hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving Krishna, it's very beneficial for our spiritual growth. In Padma Puran, Skanda Puran, it comes that just to offer one lamp to the Supreme Lord in this month is powerful enough to grant us liberation. Just one time lamp offering. So in temple, every year arrangement is made where every morning 7 a.m. and evening 7 p.m. we chant Damodar Ashtakam, 8 verses glorifying Lord Damodar and his pastimes, and everyone gets a chance to offer lamp. Temple arranges that lamp, and devotees arrange that this facility is arranged, and whoever visits, they can offer this lamp. So please take advantage. Try to come every day, if not at least once a week. Offer lamp to the Supreme Lord. And while you are at home, you can also do it on the photos as well. So now, this, of course, many speakers will speak on the month of Kartik, Damodar month. This whole month we'll hear this pastime, so I'll not get into this pastime. But something very interesting from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada, commentary on Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, I want to just discuss that a bit. That why and how this extra hearing and chanting about Krishna actually helps us. What makes spiritual progress happen just by hearing about Krishna? In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from Bhagavad Gita where he says that 4 types of people come to Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritina arjuna. 4 types of pious people choose to approach Krishna. First category is someone who is very distressed in life. Second is if they are after money. Third is if they have some inquisitiveness. What's happening here? Let me see what the temple does. Who are these Hare Krishnas walking on the street? And they're just inquisitive about Krishna himself. And the fourth, the superior most amongst these 4, is the Jnani, who is interested in the knowledge of God. He approaches Krishna. He is not interested to reduce his stress in life. He is not interested to gain any monetary benefit by approaching God. He really specifically wants to know about God. So Krishna, so 4 types of people, they approach the Supreme Lord, but while they are approaching Supreme Lord, they all are considered sukritina, very pious souls. And the reason for that is that at least they have approached the Supreme Lord, even if in need. But none of them are performing sadhana bhakti. None of them are performing devotional service. They may be approaching Supreme Lord, but they are not performing devotional service, especially sadhana bhakti. So Nectar of Devotion basically bifurcates sadhana bhakti in 2 aspects. And this is the reason I'm just bringing this point, because many of us sitting here or who will be listening are performing sadhana bhakti. So the first part of sadhana bhakti is called vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Now vaidhi sadhana bhakti means we perform some devotional practices because certain things are mentioned in the scriptures. Out of duty, we have respect for scriptures. Out of duty, a person has respect for their spiritual authorities, their guru, and they follow their instruction. And following their instruction, they follow certain rules and regulations given in scripture. Oh, one should not kill animals just for one's taste of one's palate. Okay, one should not get into intoxication. Or one should chant the names of God regularly because we are His part and parcel. Or one should come and associate with devotees. So we follow these rules and perform this regulated devotional service on daily basis because we understand the importance of it and we have a very dutiful attitude towards scriptures and spiritual authorities. But for anyone to come to this stage, especially the four categories we were talking about, one who comes to Krishna for distress, money, inquisitiveness, or for knowledge about God, there has to be little attraction towards Krishna for anyone to even come to this stage where they accept, okay, I will follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada very directly, very clearly mentions that the prerequisite for anyone to step into performance of sadhana bhakti is little attraction towards Krishna. And that can be in many forms. One is attracted towards the philosophy and they want to really practice in their life. One is attracted to the deity form of the Supreme Lord. Some little attraction is the requirement to practice, to come to the stage of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Now, while one is performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that's where months like Kartik are a booster. Nectar of Devotion explains that for someone to advance while they are on the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and I understand most of us are on that platform, one must develop firm faith in scriptures and thorough knowledge of scriptures. Then months like Kartik can really enhance because we'll put our effort to go deeper into these subject matters. And the previous point which I was making, when someone says anything in the name of spirituality or religion, from the point of view of their rights, they have all rights to do that. But from the point of view of Siddhanta, we have to speak from what the scriptures are saying. We cannot say, oh, it's your right, so whatever you're saying is also right. No, scriptures don't say that. So it's our right also to say what is not right, quoting Shastra. So from that point of view also, it is very healthy. That if someone really understands and get deeper knowledge about the scriptures and they develop faith in scriptures, then someone who is practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti advances rapidly. But Krishna makes an amazing point to Uddhava in Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter number 20. He says, Yadachraya mat kathado jata shraddha tu yapuman nanirvinno natishakto bhakti yogasya siddhida. He uses the word, if somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories. This is if somehow or other. One develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories. Such a person, being neither disgusted with or nor very much attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. This particular month of Kartik, if this statement can be our prayer, that somehow or other by good fortune, if we can develop faith in hearing and chanting about Krishna's glories, Krishna promises through Uddhava in Bhagavatam, once one will achieve perfection. One will achieve perfection. Now how does this takes place, what is, Srila Prabhupada makes the point, you know, what is this somehow? Krishna says, if somehow, what is this somehow? How this somehow results? What exactly this somehow is? And Prabhupada very specifically says, if one somehow gets the association of pure devotees of the Lord, this is the somehow. Otherwise, this somehow doesn't happen. If someone by good fortune gets association of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord, the attraction they have for Krishna, at least to some degree, is passed on to the other person. And we are all examples of that, you know. We just met and associated with devotees. Some are trying to do now, some did 10 years back, 5 years back, 20 years back. Their attraction for Krishna just basically rubbed off through us. And when we developed that little attraction, we started Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And when we were performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we developed faith in scriptures and knowledge about scriptures. And we practiced hearing and chanting about Krishna even more. For many of us, it may be a 15th or 20th Kartik month in their career as a devotee. For many of us, it may be just first or second Kartik month. So for those who have really performed this Kartik month vrata, they know what I'm saying, because every month it's surcharged with devotional enthusiasm, seeing so many devotees taking this vow, that vow, rising early in the morning, chanting extra rounds, no matter what they read extra time, they reduce their material engagement. So many devotees will take vow, where their usage of phone, social media will reduce to minimum this 1 month, so that they can utilize their time. Many devotees will take specifically this vow, especially now the times are that after everyone realizes, you know, every day 2 to 3 hours of my day is just going scrolling through this app to that app, trying to seek a kind, somewhere juice should be there, you know, somewhere it must be there. Some controversy, some debate, some news, what this celebrity is doing, something we are trying to always search, because we are after that drop of happiness. So devotees, they this particular month they say, okay, I'll reduce that and I'll directly engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna this particular month. And the results are amazing. Everybody who puts their heart and soul in trying to do something extra this month experiences it, that they've gained a lot. So good to invest our extra time in this particular month, especially in hearing more and chanting more. And then one can reach the stage of another aspect of sadhana bhakti, which is called raga nuga sadhana bhakti, where one develops natural raga, attachment for Krishna. If we don't have natural attachment for Krishna, to some degree we may have, and for some of you may have a lot more. I'm talking about myself. For us, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is the saving grace. Means sticking to the rules and regulations given in scriptures and by spiritual authorities. And then with time, especially taking blessings of months like Kartik, we may experience some attachment for Krishna. And when that attachment grows, we are actually experiencing Sadhana Bhakti to its max. And then comes the later higher stages of bhakti, later bhava bhakti, prema bhakti and all. That's still far ahead. But at least in our situation, if we can utilize this particular month, that is a great blessing. Srila Prabhupada writes in chapter 3 of Nectar of Devotion something very important which I wanted to bring. This statement is very confronting actually. He says, anyone who has any desire or aspiration for satisfying his senses by becoming more and more important, then he throws the bomb. He says, either in material sense or in spiritual sense. So anyone who has desire or aspiration to satisfy his own senses by becoming more important, either in material sense or in spiritual sense, cannot actually relish the really sweet taste of devotional service. So he's not just saying materially if someone is attached to one's sense enjoyment, they will not experience devotion. We all know that. But Prabhupada says even in spiritual sense also. Even in spiritual sense, one is only considering how one can gain enjoyment out of this activity. He will not experience Shuddha Bhakti, the happiness which pure devotional service can grant. And to some degree here, he is referring to if someone is very much attracted to their own liberation or mukti, or their own freedom from this suffering, that person cannot experience the happiness of devotion. Why? Because he is still interested in his own happiness. So then what to do? One must, in our day-to-day practice of devotional service, one must consciously practice spiritual life for Krishna's pleasure. Now this is something little hard to apply, especially in all our activities. Many services also in temple we do because we want to do, because I like it. But it's very, it's something to register in our head that whatever we do is for Krishna's pleasure. And Prabhupada says that takes us to the platform even beyond sadhana bhakti to pure devotional service. In third chapter he concludes of Nectar of Devotion with this, that if someone practices devotional service for Krishna's pleasure, he says this is the prerequisite to achieve pure devotional service. So this month of Kartik is coming. This can be one of our prayers. We can beg to the Supreme Lord that at least we have this much intelligence to identify and to apply how I can practice devotional service for Krishna's pleasure, for Radharani's pleasure. Believe me or not, to hear this and to say this is very easy, but to apply is little hard, or in some cases very hard. for us, in the stage of either Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, or we may be in the category of those four people who approach Krishna, the focus is my freedom from distress. The focus is my happiness. The focus is my suffering should reduce. It's something to come to this stage where one says, okay, what is Krishna's pleasure in it? As time passes, for a devotee practicing Krishna consciousness, this question daunts. This question really hits one hard. Am I doing it for Krishna's pleasure? And if it doesn't come to one's consciousness, there is some issue. Hare Krishna, these were some of the points I thought I'll discuss. Thank you. If any question or comment on what we discussed, please you can ask. If any correction, Prabhu, our Bhakti Shastri teacher is there. Yes, mic is there. You can speak in the mic.
Thank you, Prabhu. Really highly enlightening discussion today.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
And very in-depth. The heaviness of discussion is too much.
Yeah, it
I think
is.
We're hard to absorb.
The topic is like that, sorry.
Yeah. So, first point was that if we discuss about the different paths of approaching Krishna, So some are praying demigods like Durga.
Correct.
Okay, and some other forms. So that is a very burning question in Hinduism.
True, it is.
Or Sanatana Dharma, you know.
Yes.
That. Whereas if you look at, you mentioned Christianity,
yes,
or Judaism or Islam, they have a very definite path. If you go beyond,
yes,
that, then you are really killed or you'll be thrown to the astronaut.
Yeah.
So this kind of thing. Now, the flexibility that we have and the inherent inherent goal
that
to approach the Supreme Personality Godhead.
Yes.
So it creates very confusion, big confusion in Hinduism and acceptance and rejection in our same religion.
Yes. But
so how we can overcome this situation?
Very, very important point you raised, and I was really hoping someone should in audience should ask this, because everything you cannot say, because I had to make other points also. So I briefed on this point. It's red light now. Hare Krishna. It's going to turn off soon. It's already red. Currently it is, but in few seconds it will stop. Hare Krishna. Thank you for bringing that question. It's a very valid question, worth discussing. So this is one of the aspects, one of the strengths of a very evolved culture is that it has capacity to give shelter to anybody, whoever it is, in any consciousness, in any stage of evolution of their consciousness. And this is the strength of Vedic culture, and that is why it is very incorrect to say that if someone is worshipping a demigod or any other person, they are wrong. It's actually a wrong statement. What scriptures are saying is that if someone is worshipping any demigods, to say and bring them on the platform of Supreme Lord is little issues there. That's where we stand against certain principles. So that statement of what I'm saying is, to worship any demigod is not wrong, but to say that worship of that demigod is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is what we are quoting from scriptures, that is something which must be understood through authorities. But the power, the beauty, or the strength of Sanatana Dharma is that no matter in what stage of evolution of your consciousness you may be, it has facility for every individual to progress. So if someone is only interested in material desire and they really want to gain material results out of their religious practices, naturally they will naturally avoid worshipping the Supreme Lord. And I'll give you a simple example for that. The very, very simple example is, if a child knows, I want to, suppose a teenager is there and he wants to buy a smoke. He knows, if I have some money with me, my father is never going to give me. I can't go and tell my father, take this money and get me a smoke. But he knows, if he goes to a shop in Australia, luckily it's not possible, but in India it can happen. If he goes to a shop, because he has money with him, the shopkeeper who's interested, or who's basically sitting there to provide goods in return of money, will happily give the child, okay, you take it, because you have money in return to offer. So basically you're buying a commodity. So why this example I'm making is that this is one difference. If someone is little bit learned in scriptures, they are only interested in material desires, nothing else, they may not come to the Supreme Lord for that, because they know Supreme Lord being the Father and we being His part and parcel may not agree to fulfill our material desires. Why? Because as a loving parent, they may give us what we need, but they may not fulfill what we want. So those who are, this is I'm talking about someone who knows scriptures a little bit. So they may choose another demigod or another personality who is capable of fulfilling the material desires because they can offer. In the case of a child, it is money, but in our case, we can offer some rituals, some aarti, some puja, some religious practices. But someone, for most of us, especially coming from Indian backgrounds, we decide worshipping someone not based on knowledge. We decide worshipping someone based on what tradition we have brought up in. And that is why again and again in our lectures we request, Srila Prabhupada was also requesting, please read your scriptures. You may call yourself Hindu or Sanatani, but please read your scriptures. Then at least you can choose that you are only interested in material desires or you want something higher. Based on that, you choose whom to ask for. So the only issue, and I would say which is the most prominent issue amongst us coming from a background where we are in touch with Sanatana philosophy, Sanatana Dharma, we just don't know our scriptures. We have no idea what scripture says. So for us to choose whom to worship is exactly like, you know, a parent forcing or basically directing a child, you become engineer, you become doctor, you become, and it has nothing to do with the liking of the child, it has nothing to do with the research of the child, no. So whatever tradition we are brought up in, whatever cultural backing we have, based on that we choose whom to worship, most of us. But if they open scriptures and if they read, if they go through Bhagavad Gita or many other shastras are there, then at least they know what to do and whom to worship. And this is our only request. So now based on an individual's journey, because when we talk about soul, soul is on a journey from many, many lifetimes. Many souls can even take birth in those families where from very childhood the family is worshipping Supreme Lord. Many souls can take birth in those families where the family itself is atheistic. Or the family is practicing something which is completely against the Vedic scriptures. And we cannot say that, this poor person, it was not his fault. He took birth in such a family. No, it's a progression of the consciousness of the soul. But still that soul has an opportunity to know and understand what the absolute truth is. As I was giving the example of speaking to this boy from Delhi, my request to him was, you just don't go to such forums just to discuss and hear what everyone is saying. Why are you interested in people's mind? You should be interested in knowledge of the absolute truth. This person is very popular. Okay, he has 20 million followers on YouTube. He has 40 million social media followers. How does it help me in my spiritual life because he's very famous if he's speaking from his mind? It can be wrong because it's his mind. How am I going to trust someone's mind? I must know what the authoritative scriptures are saying and then I can decide what I want to do. So with the whole discussion which I was making, to simplify it, the only request was, please be interested in the knowledge of absolute truth. And I am not saying that you only worship Krishna, but at least be interested in absolute truth. And read your scriptures. If you're born in a Hindu culture, read your scriptures and search for the absolute truth. The first statement of Vedanta Sutra is Atata Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have got this human form, inquire about absolute truth. Brahma Jigyasa. Please question about absolute truth. How many of you are questioning? Those who are religious, they are doing because they are born in such culture, religion, or they have influenced by their friends, family, whatever. And others are not interested at all because their particular social media influencer is an atheist or they follow some political leader who may be atheist or they follow a freedom fighter who may be atheist, whatever. No one questions. No one is questioning. Does this make sense? You want to add anything on it? You can just say, I'll repeat what you're saying if it's not working. Oh yeah, I forgot to touch on that. So it's a very, very specific statement that all the paths do not lead to Supreme. It cannot be possible. Exactly. It's not possible that all the paths lead to same destination, and Prabhupada makes a very, very clear example. He gives that it's not possible that you buy a ticket for Calcutta and you end up in Bombay. No, you have specifically chosen that you want to go to Calcutta. So if someone has very specifically chosen, I actually mentioned it previously, if you're very clear and you know a little bit scripture that I just want to fulfill my material desire and I will worship such and such Devi or a Devata or a personality who can fulfill my material desires, how will you end up being a spirit soul in spiritual world ever unless you change your desire and your consciousness? So if your path is complete materialism, on what basis you will end up in spiritual realm? You cannot. But the strength of Vedic culture is, or the Vedic umbrella I would say, is that it's so huge that it can accommodate anybody. The examples which you were giving of different religious practices, that the I would say, not the word I would use is the limitation of those particular cultures is, no matter what your consciousness is, this is the only path. But Vedic culture's understanding is, no matter what your consciousness is, no matter what your consciousness is, there is different path within the same umbrella. And based on your association, as Prabhupada mentioned, if somehow one comes in the contact of a pure devotee and his shift is there in his consciousness, within the same Vedic umbrella, he may choose to worship differently. I'll give you a very classic example. It happened with Srila Prabhupada. A sannyasi from a Mayavadi school, whose goal is to become God. Understand? This sannyasi's goal is to become God. There are many schools of thought which says, Danda matra grahanena nar narayan bhavet. Just by becoming sannyasi, nar becomes narayan. A human becomes God. This is the motto. So this particular sannyasi was from similar school. So he visited Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, it was happening. So Prabhupada was on his Vyasasana in 1976 or 7 sometime. And Guru Puja time, morning 7 a.m. Guru Puja was happening. And they are worshipping, giving aarti to Guru. So for him it was very normal, because in their schools also they do the same. They worship the Guru. But they worship the Guru because they understand, oh, he has become God, and one day I will also become God, and now then people will worship me also. So their worship of Guru is worship as you step on a ladder to climb on a first floor. Once you've reached first floor, you kick the ladder. You don't need the ladder anymore. So he saw disciples worshipping Prabhupada. They're offering aarti and they're singing Guru Puja. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhagati Sadma. And then he noticed, disciples are singing, I understand. Why Swamiji is singing? So Prabhupada was also singing. So he asked another disciple of Prabhupada that why is he singing? I understand you singing, but why is he singing? And they said he's singing for his spiritual master. And for him it was the first time the strength of Guru Shishya Parampara hit him hard. It was the first time in his life. And he inquired more and he understood that it's not me who can become God. It is me who, by his devotional service, by serving the previous acharyas, will become servant of God. You know what he did? He was a sannyasi in Mayavadi school. He became a humble brahmachari, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. What happened? Just came in contact with pure devotees and the practice of pure devotion, and there was a shift in his consciousness. So that is the great fortune for someone in this Vedic umbrella. If somehow, you know, there are many people who are coming to temple because this is the nearest temple. But why are they coming? Because it is Navaratri. But we don't have Durga Devi here. But because they are in this Vedic umbrella, they search for a temple. And even on Navaratri, they come to Krishna temple. Why? Because it's part of the Vedic umbrella. And here if they meet a devotee, there can be a shift in the consciousness. But if someone is outside the umbrella, if someone is outside the umbrella, following some other tradition, they may not be open to come under the umbrella and learn the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And this is the fortune if someone is naturally under the umbrella of Vedic teachings, that they can very easily come in contact with devotee of the Lord. And then the consciousness can shift and evolve. Is that okay? Yes.
Every while passing this undercurrent, underwater, and
plant. Yes.
So I felt that way, that though these guys may not be enlightened with these spiritual descriptions, but they have the devotion to their
heart. Yes.
If they tradition. And that is so beautiful.
Yes.
They have to be
Thank you, bro. Anything else? Anyone wants to? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kartik month coming ki joy ho.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guram Rasnakhantam Swam Sajivam Shaktaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitanishtha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda